You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Here we go. It is 7.5 minutes past the hour. Another hour of the Rick and Bubba Show moving forward. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Speedy. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Helmsy, for a kickoff hour. They've knocked that out for you. If you missed that, catch it later today on the Rick and Bubba Archives, which can be found on the YouTube channel or the podcast channel. Speaking of the YouTube channel, hello, tubers. There he is, looking there. Look at old Adler. Settling in, Eddie Van Adler, ready to make that experience for you, both live and archived. One to remember. You'll catch flashbacks and the breaks. Today, we are going to be spinning the wonderful wheel of canned meat again. Rock and Roll City will perform. We have a comedian, John Reap, on the program today. And we've got the golden ticket seat guests that'll be coming in and visiting. And they'll see if they can't spin and win wonderful prizes that we gather from the offices and studio here, or the illustrious, wonderful can of Spam. And Bubba, I ordered you a new case.
Thank you. I appreciate you. That.
And there it is. It's
that's
a couple of new cans kind of ready to go. So that's happening today. Let's go ahead and bring him in here. We're talking about the Silver Tongue One, the man with a golden voice, professional lunch eaters, man of the year, the inventor of pizza and a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master of the King's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bussey!
What about it, Rick Berger? Friends, neighbors, associates, everywhere. Come on in.
Working overtime, taking care of business, Bubba.
Got to take care of the business, or it doesn't get taken care of.
Doesn't get taken care of.
Somebody leave it outside. It'll get wet. Rust.
Yep, that's
God
right.
Knows what else?
Yep. Bubba, like I say, we don't like people that don't do what they're told, and don't like people that don't do anything until they're told. And the best way, to take care of business, usually do it yourself. All right. So speaking of taking care of business, Bill Bubba Bussey heads to Huntsville tomorrow. Giga Parts, grand opening for the big, gigantic new location. Bubba will be there gripping and grinning from 9 to 12 local time. So if you're in the land of 100.3 The River, go by and see our Bill Bubba Bussey tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm not going to be like sitting at a table, I don't think. I'll be wandering the store, shopping like everybody else.
Basically, Bubba wants to go to the grand opening, and he'll be wandering around the store. But you know what? I think it's great to go see Bubba at Giga Parts tomorrow. There's one thing to see animals in a zoo, mm-hmm. but you really want to see them in their natural habitat.
Well, I started to say, right. These are my people, Rick.
Yeah, and Bubba will be, he'll thrive in this environment. Yep. He'll have energy. He'll be excited. so go see him tomorrow.
I'm excited about seeing the store. I mean, the thing is huge.
It's a big one. I saw that picture you put up. The thing's huge.
It is.
It's so giga.
It's an old Home Depot.
It's mega giga. Giga Meg. So so that's tomorrow. Also tomorrow, a new Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. Bubba and I had the honor of interviewing Cameron Hamilton. Hey, he's a horse.
Hamilton is...
Hamilton. Hamilton. By the way, that...
What in the world?
Oh, Hamilton, he's something else. You can't beat him.
Bubba, that's actually the nickname for a big woman in stretchy pants, but...
Oh, buddy. Oh, buddy.
But anyway, so
he has quite a story, and he is full of energy, and he's running for Congress, and he's served in a lot of interesting jobs.
So. Yeah. What's that
we'll
website,
get his take
Bubba?
On it. So
Hamilton.com.
Let me tell you this: if we could ever get back,
I'm from Hickory.
On the serious note. I'll tell you what I left yesterday when I talked to Hamilton. When I left yesterday, after talking to Cameron Hamilton yesterday, I thought to myself, this guy, there's very few of him,
yeah.
Unfortunately. Very few. I don't know that there's enough of him to matter, but at least I got to talk to one guy that truly has what this country's supposed to be correctly. He understands limited government. He understands the Constitution. He knows what's wrong and has worked. He's been on the inside working at the State Department, Homeland Security, serving our country as a Navy SEAL. And it was a very, very he understands the border situation. And he's one of these people who says, here's the problem, here's the solution, here's what the Constitution says.
What
a strange concept.
That's something, isn't it?
So anyway, he's a breath of fresh air, Virginia. I sure hope y'all vote him in. So anyway, Cameron Hamilton, enjoy our conversation with him about his service, his campaign, how the policies that we just kind of nonchalantly pass, how they affect so many things, the border, national security, you name it, we talked about it. So anyway, enjoy that with him this weekend. And then Bubba and I are on vacation, and it's best of Rick and Bubba shows next week. So three decades of radio gold, our team will be able to reach in and mine that for you next week. And then Bubba and I, Lord willing, will be back a week from Monday. So there you go. You're set up and ready to go for the weekend.
There you go.
Isn't it funny y'all are coming back on April Fool's Day?
Oh, gosh. That's great.
So will it?
Will we come back? Who knows? Will we pretend to be back?
Watch out.
That's all coming up over the weekend and next week and today. So much to do. We look forward to chatting with you, too. My goodness, we'll be gone for a week, so we want to chat with you today. 866-WE-BE-BIG. We unpack the stories as we move on.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
This is the Rick and Bubba Show. Watch more at blazetv.com/Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck, in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Did you know that the majority of your grocery store's meat aisle was imported from some random country or countries from overseas? Do you know that? I didn't until we started working with BackyardButchers.com. That's right. You know, Bubba and I have been known, if you look back over the three decades of Radio Go, there was a time when we had a little segment we called Mystery Meat. Sometimes the meat on the grocery aisle is mixed from different origins. You never know where the meat came from. But you're screaming to me, Rick, it clearly says on the package, product of the USA. I see the sticker. Do you know what that means? It was packaged in America. That's all that means. It does not mean it was raised here. Well, now let's point you to Backyard Butchers, a Christian conservative Texas-based company dedicated to delivering the best deals in the market on high-quality beef. Your box will include a meat that is born and raised in America from ranches right here in the heartland of America. I've already tried some of this at home and on the grill. It is fantastic. BackyardButchers.com, delivering American-raised and harvested meat from right here in American backyards to dinner tables across the nation. Now, Backyard Butchers will only source beef and chicken from American farms and deliver the cuts right to your doorstep every month, grass-fed and grain-finished. The meat tastes amazing. So cut out the frustration from the meat aisle and go to BackyardButchers.com and save an extra 20% off the entire order by using the code Bubba. So here's the deal. 10% when you subscribe and an additional 10% off and free shipping if you become a subscriber. So go to BackyardButchers.com/Bubba. Join the over 500,000 happy customers across America and the hundreds of five-star reviews on Google that are already out there, okay? And don't forget, BackyardButchers.com/Bubba, 20% off the entire order. Subscribe and get an additional 10% off and free shipping at backyardbutchers.com/Bubba.
This is the Rick and Bubba Show. Watch more at blazetv.com/Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
And as is the norm, the upsets and near upsets abound. And that's what makes March Madness a lot of fun. So
Samford got robbed.
Yeah, well, I heard the guys talking about it on the way in. I didn't see any of this yesterday. I just hear Kentucky fans calling for a new coach. I was at a lunch yesterday, and the guy looked up and said, "Wow, Mississippi State's getting drilled." And so these are just – and then all of a sudden I drive in today and I hear Samford got robbed.
Mm-hmm.
I know none of us saw that game because the tip-off was 8:55 p.m. So I think we had to hear about it. And, you know, by all accounts – and when you say robbed, we want to be sure that we say it correctly. As the kickoff hour did, if you want to say that Samford was robbed, they were robbed of an opportunity to make a shot in 14 seconds to win the game.
Correct.
Now, there's no guarantees they would have made the shot, but by all accounts, they should have been allowed to take it.
Yes. So there's a breakaway by the other team. A guy's attempting to dunk the ball. The Samford player comes up behind him, tips the ball, and changes it enough that he misses the shot.
Yep, all ball.
Samford gets the rebound. So they have the ball. They're down a point, and what was it, 14 seconds left?
Once the foul was over.
That's a lifetime in basketball.
Well, for one shot to get it down the court.
So
hold it for the last shot.
You know, you hate you didn't get that opportunity because, wow, what a game.
Yeah.
Well, and if you are
I have videoed it. I will watch it later.
Yeah, if you are Kansas too, you kind of just look right here.
Gotta hit the floor good too.
We're looking at his body doesn't touch the Kansas player at all.
Yeah. And his hand is on the ball.
Yeah. It's
that's his textbook a way to block a shot as I've ever seen.
Right.
Well done.
See, it didn't even hit his wrist later. He just rolls that ball out of his hand a little sooner than he thought it was gonna go, and he missed a shot.
And he
took quite a fall too, but it wasn't because of the other player. It was because of his own weight and the way he grabbed the rim.
Well, do you think the official got caught up in the way he fell by the awkwardness of the way he went up for the dunk?
Absolutely. Yeah,
and
probably.
He saw the way he fell, and he goes, "Well, surely the defender must have something to do with that."
Yeah, and looking at it live, like the referees do, they don't have the ability to slow it down.
I thought they had replay now.
He hit his hand. He hit his wrist or something, you know.
Yeah.
But he obviously didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were asking, Bubba, is should we be replaying or have a chance to review everything like under 2 minutes or something of that nature?
Well,
should they have been able to go back and review that? I don't know the answer.
In that case, it would have made a difference.
It would have.
And it would have corrected a wrong. So, you know.
Well, if you
should we do that?
I know moral victories, you know, they last for a little while, but when you look at the bracket, you're still out. But, you know, if you're Samford, you do have to say, I mean, you went and played Kansas toe-to-toe and had a chance to win the game. You played well.
Yep.
But this is the sad part about it is the official gets caught up in what the player basically did to himself.
Yeah.
Because the Samford player touches nothing but ball and pushes it forward. And what body control to keep his body from leaning on him is incredible.
Right, well, look at the angle. He took a perfect angle.
Well, to your point, Bubba, you refer to it as textbook. I mean,
that's as good as you can play it right now.
This is what you show somebody when you go, this is how you do it.
What is sad is when you as a defender are played the play.
What a play.
Exactly right within the rules, and they still call a foul.
This is the sad part of it. The player. Mm-hmm. Did exactly as he is coached, as he is shown for the perfect block. The referee did not do his job.
There you go.
And I'm sorry. But
sorry.
That's the case.
That sorry. Is 100%. Not trying to bring attention to ourselves. That's just what happened.
Yeah.
Look, it's a thankless job. No one cheers when the referee leaves the arena and go, hey.
Yeah.
Dang good job, Zebra. Yeah. You know, nobody does that.
Well,
I don't know why anybody would want to do it, honestly.
I bet Kansas did.
They may have. Yeah.
But if you want to do that, and you're going to do that,
right.
These people have a lot riding on this. You've got to be right.
Right.
You got to be right.
Well, I know.
And you got to know when you double dribble.
Right. I know all officials.
I heard somebody refer to that the other night, talking about a bad call.
Umpires and referees, that all of them, I hope, their commitment, and I believe it is, let's try our best not to play a role in deciding the outcome of the game. Let's make sure nobody is unnecessarily getting hurt or has risk of injury or has an unfair advantage. Let's not be what decides the game, if all possible. And in this case, that's a no call. Well, Sanford still has to make a shot with 14 seconds left.
Yeah, and they may not.
They may not have made it, but they should have got a chance to shoot it.
And this is why I think it should be reviewable.
Right.
Yeah. Like, this is a big deal.
It really is. If the referee watching it in real time, I could see where he thought it was a foul. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The guy, he kind of changes his flight dynamics, but it's because the ball left his hand, not because he was hit. And in real time, you would think there was somebody in there.
Right.
But after you looked at the replay, you go, oh, my gosh, I've blown this.
Yeah. I'm looking right here, and it says Rule 11-2-1B6 allows officials the opportunity to review a goaltending basket interference.
That's not goaltending interference.
It's okay, buddy. Why don't you talk about what's going on with the Democrats and the Republicans?
I'm looking. Rule 11-2-1-B7 says if the referees have wagered money on Kansas, they're allowed to rig the foul to help them win.
A lot of people don't know that
one. It's another rule.
Yeah.
Well, it's an obscure rule.
Yeah.
It's one of those you don't see much.
You know.
Well, it's sad. And then Kentucky.
Good night.
Good night, Wildcats.
Hey, did three go nuts?
Good gracious.
He looks like Chet from Weird Science, the older brother.
Right, yeah.
That was mean to the little brothers.
Right. Yeah. So
he went berserk.
Is this Oakland, California, or Oakland somewhere else?
I want to say it's in Michigan.
Oakland, Michigan?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Ooh, Cinderella.
Step out their house? I don't know. I think it's Michigan. I don't think it's the Oakland out west guy.
Well, we all have Kentucky basketball fans that we know. Helmsy, you said you've already heard from yours.
Oh, yeah.
They do not. This is like Bama having a coach that can't get them to the playoff, or get them to the championship game. They don't tolerate it in football.
Well, they haven't won a national title in, what, 3 or 4 years?
Well, now listen, it's been a while.
Drought, Bubba.
I think they were the Final Four so quickly, so many times when he got the job.
Oh, yeah.
But it's been 9 or 10 years since they've been to the Final Four. Yeah.
And it is Auburn.
And he's only won one national title. People at Kentucky.
Right.
But it does seem like
the first year or second
year?
It was early on.
Yeah, it was.
So he's
on the hot seat. I think he's been on the hot seat for the last couple of years, and this is probably – I don't know if this will do it.
Isn't it funny, he's probably the only one in the SEC. All the rest of them got raises.
Oakland University is in Auburn Hills, Michigan.
Right again.
Yeah. Well, you know, and he kind of ran through this
2012.
Whenever he got there, and Kentucky was in the mix, he had all these one and done guys where he kept having to reload.
Yeah, I remember that. Did he get away from that?
But that was his style.
Right. But I'm just saying they were all leaving, going to the NBA, and I know he kept having to reload, and then they hit like a little skid here.
He was at Memphis, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Because they were really good for a long time.
How can the Wildcats not be prepared to stop Chet?
Do you remember when Keith Lee was there when we were in high school?
Oh, yeah, sure, of course.
Well, he was a beast.
Say, how can Kentucky not be ready to defend Chet?
Man.
From Oakland, Michigan.
Do we have any highlights of that out of Wicked Show? Because I want Rick to see. He is bombing them in left and right. I mean, Rick, he's got this quick release, too, you know?
So Chet,
we were out eating, and I saw the balls flying. Like, I was like, oh, my gosh, he is lighting them up.
I would love to have seen Chet against old Goggle Eye.
Oh yeah.
Picture them two battling.
Yeah.
It'd have been something.
Chet's being defended by Goggle Eye and vice versa. And vice versa.
Y'all, he looks so much like Bill Paxton from Weird Science. It's funny.
Oh, the Golden Grizzlies. All right, we'll come back. Bottom of the hour. 866 We Be Big. March Madness fully underway. And of course, Salt Lake City, long way from Birmingham. Such a long way. We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
All right, so Bubba, we went to the break. We were running out of time. We had a request for Adler to find who we've called Chet. As a matter of fact, we nicknamed him Chet so fast that we went to search for highlights, and we were all searching for Chet. His name isn't Chet. Uh-uh. He plays for Oakland, Michigan. He's a 3-point bomber. And this new thing that we've been following, odd-looking basketball players who can shoot. Yeah. I mean, this is a new thing. The Celtics did it long before anyone else.
Unathletic white guys.
It looked like, when you played the Celtics in their dominant years, you were playing the Munsters. But now, these odd-looking white guys that can drain threes are our dominant players. And what's his name, Adler? You said
Jack Polkey?
Jack Polkey. Here he is owning the Kentucky Wildcats.
The Golden Grizzlies come away with it. Here's Golkey. That's a deep three. Now there's a good by Wagner. Here he is again.
That's
it. Oh, my goodness. Golkey's come to play. 12 points already.
Shouldn't
how about he these
been
guys
giving his brother a wedgie?
By the way, Golkey looks pretty athletic. Let's not take that one from him.
Like
half of a fadeaway.
Yeah, but he looks like a Chant the Bully.
Golkey!
That
the Golden Grizzlies, and they're black and gold, baby.
You love it.
Oh, sure. I love that black and gold.
I say Polkey at Golkey.
You did.
None of us will ever speak of him again. What do you think there's a chance we'll talk about him again?
Rick, I was watching it yesterday, went down the floor, and it was early. And I mean, he hit like 4 threes in a row or so. Oh. It was ridiculous. I said, guys, I don't know if they keep replaying this or what, but this one guy keeps throwing in threes over here on Kentucky.
Well, back to your reference to him as Chet, the older bully brother, where some of these look geeky, he looks like a bully. I mean,
he looks like
the school bus bully.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got that flat top working. Yeah,
well, he bullied Walker.
Yes, he did.
Helms is Widow's Peak.
Do y'all want to hear him talk?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Here's his press conference after the game.
Come on, Golkey.
Obviously, we come in, we're the underdog by all measures, but you just got to, as a player, you can't think that way. You got to go out there and you got to think that you have the same talent level as them. I know they have draft picks, and I know I'm not going to the NBA, but I know on any given night I can compete with those type of guys, and our team can compete with those type of guys. And that's why I was so confident going into it, and that's why I say we're not a Cinderella, because when we play our A game, we can be the best team on the floor.
Okay, Golkey coded like
it was. Wow.
I like Golkey.
I know I'm not going to the NBA.
Yeah, Polkey's unbelievable.
Polkey.
Yeah, I had a way to go. I like calling him Chet.
It sounds like he said he won, and that's it. Yeah, and you can't deny the fact. Yeah.
Not trying to bring attention to ourselves.
Exactly.
That's just what happened. So here we go. We talked about the Samford bad call. The Samford Bulldogs are out of Birmingham, and we it's right down the street. So we even had the last man church conference on the campus of Samford, and we got a lot of connections there. They got robbed. It looked like on a call. So if you're the coach, how do you handle going all the way to Salt Lake City, bringing an underdog team in against Kansas? You should have been given the ball with 14 seconds left with a chance to win the game. No guarantee you hit the shot, but you should have been allowed to take it. So how does a coach handle this in the post-game interview? So here's the head basketball coach for Samford. Here he is.
I have seen the play.
It's Helmsy.
I thought AJ made an incredible play on it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not faulting the call. You know, some people can see it different ways. But I was really proud of our guys' ability to go make a play. And at the end of the day, you know, AJ's recovery there, if there is no whistle, I'm not blaming the whistle, but if there's no whistle, we're going to have a numbers advantage going the other way to advance to round two. That's how close the game was. And that's how well our guys played, because we were down by, what was the maximum we're down? So we're down by 22, and we're going to have the ball there, you know, however much time left going the other way, with a great opportunity. So, you know, it is what it is.
I love his story.
How about Bucky McMillan?
Yeah, he played at Birmingham Southern. He was an assistant at Mountain Brook High School, then took over that Mountain Brook High School job, did unreal, and then finds himself at Samford, gets that opportunity. He's doing the best with it. That's awesome.
I'll tell you,
love me some Bucky.
Bucky McMillan, don't they call it Bucky Ball? The way they run, the way they go. So were they down 22 in the game at one point? And I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Wow.
22 points against Kansas and came back and had a chance to win it. If you don't get a bad call, sorry. But, you know, he said what he should have said.
Yeah,
hey, nothing I knew about the call, but let's talk about the fact that if the call goes our way, we've got numbers down by one with a chance to go to the second round. And so you have to look at what the Samford basketball team accomplished, call or no call.
Yeah. This is the play they ran to bring the game within 1 point. This is 22 seconds left in the game. And they do an elevator, kind of a trick play. I don't know anything Bucky about ball. This, but this is what people are saying. There you go.
Let's see how Kansas is going to play it. Last time they tried to show him recovery, it didn't work out well. Oh, excellent. Three ball.
Boom. Whoa.
A little trickery there.
Yeah. There you go. They're coming back around now.
Come
back
around the elevator.
Yeah, you see him close after he goes through.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's funny.
Elevator doors.
That's a funny play.
Imagine little Bucky ball. So, I don't know if I've come up with that on my own, but I call it Bucky Ball. If they're not calling it Bucky Ball, they should.
No, they've been calling it that.
Have they?
Yeah.
Okay. That's you know what? Because you know how they do those things? If you have a B name, like I remember when my one of my sons played at a high school and the head football coach's name was Buddy and they called it Buddy Ball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't you have to do that?
Yeah.
It flows so well. So anyway, that's kind of some highlights from March Madness on round one, and there's more round ones today, right?
Yes.
Lots more.
It's going to be a busy weekend.
Auburn, Alabama, I think, did they both play today?
UAB also.
And UAB also.
UAB at lunch.
Listen, I know we're talking about Kentucky and Calipari. I didn't realize this. This is how out of the loop I've been. Do y'all realize that the last five SEC tournament champions, all with the exception of 1 year, has been Auburn or Alabama in basketball?
I did not know that.
Since 2019, you've had Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn. You got to go back to 2018 to find Kentucky as the tournament champion.
Did not know that. By the way, Bubba, you're going to love this from Chet. I just got a text. Looked up the shooting this year on Chet. You're going to love this, Bubba. He took 350 shots. Only two of them were two-pointers.
He
don't get inside the stripe much.
Hey, he is pilot to bombardier. Let her fly.
That's great, man.
You know that first three we saw,
that's
Rick?
Hilarious.
He was a body length behind the three-point line when he put it up.
I didn't realize that. He only took two two-pointers. It's 350 shots. Chet will launch.
Save your legs for defense. I'm going to put it up.
And we will now look at this chaos at the border. Now, before, I want to warn all of you that think that, you know, like me, that we think that there needs to be a change. We want to vote, if Trump is allowed to run, looks like he will, to bring order back to a lot of things, including the border. I must warn you, when we go through this right now and we see the obvious issues, the obvious chaos, I just want to warn those that are easily frustrated. What's going to happen is the Biden administration is going to convince you this is not their fault.
That's right.
And I know that's going to bother you. And it's going to be hard to stomach. They're going to claim that there's nothing they can do and the Republicans are the ones causing this. Now, you have to be educating yourself to know that that isn't true.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Cameron Hamilton, we talked to him about that. He's like, look, Biden in the executive branch, there's certain things he can do right now that he's not doing. And to say the Republicans are doing this just isn't being honest. I don't know that they can sell people on that when you think about that Trump was literally building a wall and you know, was talking about securing the border and that they haven't secured the border. But anyway, this is a very, I'm going to give three of these, very, very, very serious situation. Mm. And it something has to be done. And hopefully if it won't be done now in November, we can do something to bring some order. But here's absolute chaos at the border. The border agents just get overrun by illegals. I want you to look at this. They're tearing the fence down or this whatever wire we have there. And they have their hands up as it not to be shot at. But then here in a minute, look, they just decide they're going to bum rush the agents. And one of the things we talked to Cameron Hamilton about is he said these agents are just
– look at that.
They're in a terrible situation.
Well, they're handcuffed. They, you know, there's only so much they can do.
Yeah, and then they run up to and start trying to come through the wall. But see what stopped them. I think that's important.
The wall.
The wall.
Yeah. So that's pretty important. So here is the mayor, Brandon Johnson, who, of course, is going to blame Trump supporters about what's going on with his homeless policy and the fact that we keep sending these illegals for him to deal with.
Well,
here he is discussing that. Of course, it'll be blamed on Trump supporters.
I think there were 38,000 Republicans that showed up and voted for Donald Trump or something like that in Chicago. So, you know, since if we're trying to draw some conclusions and you all want some other, you know, analytics you might want to discover, that might be something to look into, because there's a good chance that played a part in this referendum. So the same people who want to see Donald Trump become president, you know, sometimes I do feel like he wants my job, but who wants to be president again, those are the same voters who voted for him, and the same voters where you look at where there were more no's, they were concentrated there.
So keep in mind,
or they just disagreed with your policy,
right?
Yeah, your homeless policy they didn't like.
I wanted to warn you.
I know, that's a crazy idea that somebody would disagree.
Anything that it...
Well, they're doing such a great job with Chicago anyway. So, right. I mean, well, wow.
We all want to copy that.
Yes.
But remember, when you see Democrats in power doing poorly, it's never their fault.
Never.
It's not their policies. It's not their ideology. It's not their worldview. Somehow, it's not even just Republicans' fault. It's Trump's fault.
That's it. You got to go back to him. Yeah, got to.
Of course, I don't know how he runs Chicago, but you see the mayor trying to convince us that he does.
Yeah, right. Just stats on that.
There was a lot of problems in Chicago before Trump ever got to the White House. Yeah.
So here's Stephen Miller. He's going to lay out the Democratic scheme on how they do not want the border secure and why. And he lays it out quite clear. So here we go.
Our three immediate objectives Democrats have with respect to open borders. And those are, one, this already happens. They're counted in the census, which means more congressional seats for states with illegal aliens and electoral college votes. California would have half of the electoral college votes it has right now, but for illegal immigration. Think about that.
Wow.
The electoral map, you know, where this automatic giant behemoth of electoral college votes is delivered to the left immediately, is because of illegal immigration. Two, there's no citizenship verification to vote in American elections. Very few people realize this. You get, if you ask for it, you get a form and it says, are you a citizen, yes or no? If you check the yes box, that is it. Every state that has tried to validate that, and the federal government does zero validation, has been blocked successfully in court, now going on for more than 20 years. This is a true statement without exaggeration. There's not a single state in this country where illegal aliens cannot vote simply by checking a box. And as you can imagine, the potential for massive fraud there is increased exponentially with mass mail-in voting. So if even a small percentage of Biden's illegal aliens fill out mail-in ballots, fill out ballots that go into drop boxes, et cetera, that would be outcome determinative in races up and down the ballot. Now, all it would take to stop this would be for the House to attach to a must-pass bill, legislation requiring citizenship verification to vote in 2024. And the third thing is that as soon as they have the power and ability to do so, they would pass a law making all illegal aliens into full voting citizens. Had it not been for the fact that Joe Manchin is indeed, he's a hardcore liberal. He's voted against us on almost everything of importance. But he did one thing that was noteworthy, which is that he refused to eliminate the filibuster. If he had voted to end the filibuster, they would have, in the first month of Biden's presidency, passed a full Citizenship and Voting Rights Act for all illegal aliens in the country. And they had the votes to do it, but for the fact that Manchin didn't agree to waive the filibuster. Manchin, by the way, he supports amnesty. He would have voted for the bill. He just didn't vote to get rid of the filibuster. So those...
Well, there you go.
Well, now I get up, I'm walking like him.
All right. And that's the main thing. It's the sleeping.
Yeah. If I lay down and go to sleep, when I wake up, it's horrible.
Did everything go well with mom's appointment, you're saying?
Oh, I ain't talking about that.
You ain't talking about that. We talk about that. We'll talk about that.
Okay. He's horrible to update.
I know. I even specifically asked for an update. But anyway.
Seems like maybe on the way home you would have called your big brother.
You didn't have about an hour and a half to talk to
me.
So we're good. No problem.
Rick, but I was listed down junior download.
Okay, sorry about that. Adler.
You may be like me. You're talked out.
Right. Yeah, oh, buddy. I'm going
to
tell you.
He was talking to Chase Elliott about his injury last year.
Okay, good. By the way, Adler, you're back any better?
I am. I'm kind of in the same spot as Greg. It's waking me up around 2 o'clock. I have to switch sides, and that doesn't really help either. At one point, I was sleeping with my arm just hanging off the bed
because it was comfortable.
Because it was more comfortable. Yeah, yeah. And mine is actually not low back right now. It's right at my shoulder blade. I feel like I have a sword. Right here.
You need me to come work on it again?
Speedy, you are a miracle. You got miracle hands.
Bubba said this for years. I think Speedy should be in physical therapy.
Yeah.
I can work on you if you need.
He's missed a calling.
When you just
hands of steel.
When you put your hands on me.
And elbow of steel.
Oh, yeah.
I even tried to sleep on your side, put a pillow between your leg, move. It didn't do nothing.
You talking about what you used to make fun of me for doing?
Yeah.
You got to, Greg.
Greg, how did they tell you to sleep?
Like that.
How come you can't do that?
I do, but it still
doesn't help.
I still can't get up. I have to roll and flop and floor.
Do you go 90-90?
When
you do that, do you fall asleep?
I fall asleep, but then I wake up in excruciating pain.
Oh, okay.
I had to sleep
then
on my
back. Then I get up and move around a little bit. On my way in, an hour and a half, I put the seat heater on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff.
Are you out of Brazilian jiu-jitsu right now? Are you on the injured list?
This is actually a good week for me to be injured because I haven't been able to go because of life stuff.
Okay.
I'm trying to say about Rock and Roll City.
Life happened. I don't know how we interrogate terrorists
Rock and Roll
or whatever.
City's injured.
He'll be all right.
We'll play injured.
Yeah, I don't know how they interrogate, you know, folks that we need information from, terrorists or whatever. But if they could find a knot in their back, and really press on it. Yeah. I think they tell you anything
they
that you
scream it all
know.
Out.
Yeah. Okay, I did it.
Ali Akbar.
Oh, Greg.
Greg Burgess. Nobody has you say that.
So I
had Adam telling me whatever I wanted to know the other day.
Oh, buddy, I was like a posable Barbie doll, like click 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 click. Click.
He'll injure you. Sometimes he will actually injure you in the middle.
That's fine. I ask you how it feels.
He's gentle.
And if I need to be harder or softer.
Well, for a while, he was like Joe Biden. He would do it whether you asked him or not.
Hey.
You know,
I didn't do that.
Very handsy. Very handsy.
But gentle and caring.
Well, thank you.
Hands on.
Yeah, it's almost like he could sense a nodding you back. He'd come over and
say, hey, buddy, how you doing?
I thought it was interesting how I reacted because I was like, and then, Speedy, you went to Rick. And Rick was like, yeah, that's it right there. Yeah.
But I'm ignoring it because I'm a man.
Well, I just don't get dramatic about pain.
He wasn't like euphoric about it like you were.
My goodness.
I just kind of stood through it. I didn't think it was going to feel any better if I flopped around like a fish that had just been caught.
I mean, I heard angels singing, Speedy. You got a gift.
Well, I don't know if it is a gift or not, but I have the ability to find a knot quick.
Yeah,
I can find a knot.
Known for it.
Right.
And a free lunch.
Yeah. And a free lunch.
Like right now, raise your hand if you have a knot. I'll find it in 10 seconds. You do? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but you know where mine is because you worked on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There he goes. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt.
His hands.
Here he goes.
It's going to hurt.
This look, he loves
it. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, that's
found it.
How many seconds was that?
That was pretty quick. That's pretty quick. That was pretty quick.
I don't have one, but I kind of want you to go over and see if you can find one.
See if you can find one on Helms.
Yeah, look for it.
Yeah. I mean, I
got a dozen of them.
Oh, yeah. And I'm real tight.
Are they buzzing?
Yeah, they are. Like a cousin.
I like a hood.
Speedy's missed his calling.
You got to get deep in the tissue.
It's like he can like when those people found water. Yeah, he can find it.
He's like the guy
witching for water.
He's witching with the old branch out there looking for it.
Yeah. Okay. Come over and get Bubba
one. He got it.
Oh, he found it.
He found it.
All right, go. Now we're going to
go. I got a bunch of them.
Keep coming around.
He's
We're going Bubba.
He went elbow.
No, don't let him put that elbow on you. Adam, you ever had the elbow?
Oh, yeah. People's elbow.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, you got one? You got one?
Oh, he's struggling. Bubba's struggling.
He's going to push it in the next week.
Push it in the next week.
That's very good.
You're coming in here?
Oh, no, he's going after Adler.
Oh,
look, Adler doesn't do well with this. Adler does not do well with this. Watch Adler.
I'll be fine.
Okay. Adler, see if you can keep from reacting.
Right.
Just simply talk to him. Okay? Just simply say, yes, that's it.
What? Give me your hand. Okay.
Just simply say, yes, that's it.
Oh, he's moving it.
Okay, just say, yes, that's it.
Yes, that's it.
It's like a knife in my back. Y'all, when I do the foam roller thing, it sounds like I'm going over like a bumpy road. It's like
legitimately injured.
I pulled something bad.
So it was looking. It was a big woman. It wasn't like she was small.
It was during the dude's fight.
Oh, was it
the man fight?
Yeah, Rick, she wasn't like this petite woman.
I wish I had longer arms to find my knife.
Be ashamed.
Oh yeah,
you wish you had longer arms so you could find your knife.
Yeah, me too.
Me too, buddy.
Maybe you could train one of us to be your knife.
Okay, hey, you'd feel good, but you would be funny looking guy.
I wish I had longer arms.
Dragging your knuckles across the floor. Hey guys,
how you doing?
Wait a minute. My lower back's hurt.
Quick, call the orangutan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So why you go mean
well,
like that?
Now your arms get longer.
Still okay. Hanging out with Philo Beto?
Look at me.
Left turn, Speedy.
Right, I'm coming to find you not.
Oh.
I gave you a pass because you were injured.
Right.
Oh, yeah. You need to work on Greg.
Yeah. I can find in the scapula. Hold on.
Go get
there
it.
There he goes.
Get him.
This is like Richard Simmons.
No, no problem. Lower back.
He's about to deal a meal.
Hold on.
Sometimes
I got to look up.
It's very low back. It's ultimately low back.
No, look, he's fine. Found something up high. Oh, we all got plenty of knives. I got them
head to toe.
I got them.
That hurts, by the way.
Good job.
Oh, wait a minute. Now my back feels better.
Oh, now Rick's back on board.
Oh, Rick.
I know, that's a tough one.
Oh,
that's my bad one.
Oh, Rick.
Yeah, that's awful.
That looks good. So you've been sleeping his arm with
that's an old dad pain right there. That one is just kind of dead.
Place it up and down.
But
keep on doing it.
Oh, he's mashing his back while he's moving his arm.
That's it right there.
He's activating it.
That's awful.
Did it free up, though? Did it free up?
It did free up. I'm telling you, Bubba's right. You missed your calling. I mean, it's we'll come back.
You're
phone
amazing.
Calls.
You're amazing.
Well,
Speedy.
I can find them.
Oh, I even got electric shock going down.
Do you really?
I found it.
Yeah. But if my nose could smell knots, it'd help. But
well,
I could feel
them. You'd be unstoppable.
Program today. So Jeffrey is in Pennsylvania. He found the show recently. Usually listens to archives, but his schedule allowed him to catch the show in real time today. So he called, and he has been a conservative for the last 6 years of his life in Pennsylvania, which, Jeffrey, I bet that's a party. But anyway, you were talking about voting for Trump, and then we were running out of time, so finish your thought.
Well, actually, quickly, it might be more than 6 years. I became conservative when 2016,
okay,
the first time Trump ran.
Okay.
That's when I switched. So it might be more than 6 years. But anyway, quickly, I want to get to the fact that I feel that right now he is, first of all, I feel he's running to stay out of jail. Some of the charges I feel are politically motivated, but some of the stuff he brought on himself, yeah, and there's no getting around it. But let's not even focus on that. The fact is, he is using the Republican Party to pay the RNC to pay his legal bills. And that's not the purpose. There's going to be highly contested races come November for that Senate, the House, and even governorships across the country. And I feel like the Dems are going to win a lot of these races because the RNC is just not going to be able to, you know, go out and advertise for their candidates, the lesser known candidates. I'm concerned about that.
Jeffrey, let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Trump didn't go over with a pistol to the RNC and say, pay my legal bills, did he?
No, he didn't.
So how do you think? Okay, well let's walk this out because I have a little bit of knowledge about what you're talking about, and I understand your point. I'm not anti your point, okay? But I think we got to be fair about how we got there.
Right.
So why would the RNC ever agree to pay Donald Trump's legal bills? What would be the motivation?
Well, because number one, he installed his daughter-in-law as co-chair.
He installed his daughter-in-law, so that is a reason for them to pay the legal bills before she was there. That agreement was made several years ago.
Robin Daniel was also.
No, how about this? Let me submit this to you for thought. Maybe the RNC needed Donald Trump's image to raise money, and they didn't have the rights to it.
Well, they're not really raising.
So they go, right now, they go to Donald Trump and say, can we use your image on our fundraising? We want you on the website. We want you on the merchandise. And we want you on our social media platforms. And how much is that going to cost? And he says, I tell you what I'll do. You pay my legal bills, and you can have it for free. And guess what? They took the deal.
I'd partially agree there, but I just think I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it's not that about is what. Yeah, that's just the fact. You may not like it. There's not about agreeing with it. That is what happened.
Right. Yeah, and I see your point too. Sure. Was that a bad deal on their part? You go, well, gosh, you don't know how much the legal bills could end up being. But at the same time, they made millions and millions and millions of dollars off of mailers and social media ads with his picture on it.
Jeffrey, are you familiar with the term that Rick and Bubba talked about? And it's not new because a guy even put together a whole graph about it, about you need to be more fine than you are crazy. And what the Republican National Committee has decided on Bubba's facts here is that Donald Trump is more fine than he is crazy. He brings more benefit to their fundraising than he'll cost them on legal fees.
Yeah, and that was a couple of years ago when that was done.
Right.
Before really all of these lawsuits were even known about. I mean, we knew there was going to be some, but I don't think anybody thought it was going to be the avalanche that it was. But now at this point, and I think you're tying two things together. His daughter-in-law is now one of the leaders of that organization. But whoever the nominee is of the party always does that. They always put their people into the Republican National Committee, just like the Democrats do. There's nothing odd about what you're talking about. I think the real decision is, was it a wise financial deal that they made? Have they come out ahead or behind on it? Right. That's really where that discussion needs to be.
That's right. And that's kind of where you are, Jeffrey. And we will see, but I will say also whether – you know, and I hear where you're going, and I understand why you're there, but there's not another candidate on the landscape that garners the kind of support and passion for people who are voting against the Biden administration quite like Trump.
Yeah.
And that's what the Republican National Committee knows.
Biden is a terrible
person. Yeah, well, of course he is. Yeah, he's horrible.
And Jeffrey, I would agree with you from a group that is supposed to be helping candidates of a like mind of their party, of their platform, be elected, I think it's a terrible decision for them to pay the legal bills of anybody.
Right.
But by the same token, they were not going to be able to send out, I mean, without his image and been able to use that. Yeah. And, you know, you could probably argue, well, could they use it without his permission? I don't know. That's another, you know, that's a whole nother Pandora's box. But I do know they needed that to raise money. They used it to raise money, and that was the cost of that doing that. Yeah. Now, is it a good call? Should they be doing it? I'm kind of with you on that one, Jeffrey. I don't think so. I think they ought to be promoting candidates. But somebody made that deal.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then they had to face the wheel.
He's going to win the presidency. I do believe that, because Biden is just a disaster.
Well,
so I do feel Trump is November. I don't see how he possibly can't. Unless he continues making comments that are just off the rails.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have that. Jeffrey, if you thought that's changed, you're going to be disappointed. Yeah. Look, I think a lot of us thought, well, maybe this time around it'll be, I don't think it's going to be good.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be more of the same.
You remember the great movie quote, buckle up, gentlemen, it's going to be a bumpy ride.
Yep.
I think he did well the first, his first presidency. I think his tweeting and stuff was a little hard to swallow, but I think his policies were not bad policy.
No, I agree with that.
In fact, I think some of them were a little liberal.
I think policy, he was pretty solid. The presentation, like you said, offended a lot of soccer moms, for lack of a better term, if we're just going to group people together for talking about elections.
A little stereotype there. Yeah, we know
he that's who he lost, was the suburban. But that cost
people elections, you know.
Yeah, it does.
He could have possibly, if he didn't act that way, he might have won that second.
You are correct. You are correct. If you're but just anyway, honest about the numbers,
all that.
Yeah, not the most coachable.
You know.
Yeah. He's got his way. You know?
I wanted to get your opinion on something.
All right, we're running out of time. Quickly.
Austin, I've been listening to Rick's Bible study.
Yeah.
And that brings me to Vivek. I feel Vivek is a rock star. I know he doesn't have much political experience, but the man is intelligent. He is, I don't know. I feel like he's a rock star. He is the future of our Republican Party.
Well, that may be, but I'd love to see him as a press secretary on this next round. You know?
Yeah, I think getting involved at any level and showing that he can handle that will be a major stepping stone for him. I think the Republicans have a lot of stars that have a very bright future.
Thanks, Jeffrey, for calling, buddy. And the question, top of the hour, John Reap joins us next.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
So, Bubba, we are fired up to not only welcome our golden ticket seat guest, but look who's back. Look who's back. Hey, there he is, ladies and gentlemen. John Reap is back.
Oh, yeah. I love that guy.
I love John Reap.
I want some canned meat myself.
And where is he from?
Hickory.
That's right.
My neck is so sore from that joke. Because every time I say Hickory, my head, it goes like this. I went to a chiropractor, and my range of motion, this is no joke, this is as far as I can turn my neck, right? Right there. I got to go really get it looked at.
Wow. Well, if you got a nod, let me know.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
You got to work it out.
I'll find it in a second.
He's a physical therapist.
Good to be here. I love your new studio, guys.
Thank you. Your first time in Big Boy.
It is first time here. Yeah, last time I saw you guys, we had Zoomed together.
That's right.
I think we did a multicast kind
that's
of
right.
thing. I did yours, you did mine.
That's right.
Yeah, it was Rick and Bubba University, and then they were on your podcast.
That's right.
Yeah. I think about you every time I get a royalty check. I really do.
I still play that game.
Oh, I love that game.
It's so much fun.
That's a good idea.
Because what I love is, you know, so I do the podcast, which is also a live show on Facebook and YouTube. We switched the name. It's now called Carolina Reaper. It just made more sense.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like a hot sauce.
Some people didn't understand the country-ish part.
Right.
Like, what are you country or what is this ish? Right. And then they couldn't understand it. So I'm like, let's just be me, Carolina Reaper.
Yeah.
But, I still play that game. And what I love is when I talk about it on the pod, people know it from there.
Right.
But if they just follow me on Facebook or something and they don't know exactly what it is, they'll call in. They'll be like, so that's one check for Good Luck Charlie on the Disney Network. You did one episode. This is for cable only. I'm going to guess $8,042. And I'll go, it's 24 cents. I love your optimism.
Yeah, thank you for your optimism. Yeah, I mean, we're getting them, $1.68?
Yeah. I got one in there from I Can Only Imagine.
What'd we get on this one?
I think it was $12.
$12?
Oh, yeah.
I'll go look and see.
Another bracket.
Big spender.
I told John he's ruined the word hickory for me.
Hickory.
Because now if I hear it, not even talking about the place, I have to go hickory.
I know.
Yeah. And do my head like that. Hickory.
And what I've noticed, it really gets on people's nerves. Because if you do it, it's funny. Yeah. But when we do it just randomly, they're like, why would you do that?
Yeah. They think we have another speech impediment.
The citizens of Hickory hate it more than anyone.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, because, you know, I've been saying it for years. When I was on Last Comic Standing, I think I said that joke one time. But every episode, what they would do is take me saying that and coming up next, we get the guy from Hickory, and I'd say it. And they showed the same clip.
Okay.
So it looks like it's all I talked about.
Okay. Are you the most famous person from Hickory ever?
No. Del Jarrett.
Yeah, Ned
Jarrett. Oh, 88?
Yeah.
Hold up, Yates.
Oh, Hickory Speedway.
Yeah, Hickory Motor Speedway. That's where future NASCAR stars are born.
That's right.
Uh-huh. So you got that, and then you got Madison Bumgarner is from that area, so they claim him. And then Eric Church, country singer.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
And then the pig from Green Acres. So I got a way to go.
Arnold?
Oh, I think her name was Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Oh,
it's a joke. You walked into that.
And, you know, we always thought, you know, being in Alabama, we thought that Talladega Short Track.
Is
where, you know, of course, that's actually where illegitimate children are born. So I notice you're, you know, there's no better way to win over Team Rick and Bubba than to bring something to eat.
Ooh, well, you got to.
Yeah, and I notice you're toting barbecue sauce.
Yes, sir. I've got, I moved back to Hickory about six years ago. Hickory. Yes.
It's not going to help your neck.
No. Seriously, I want to talk to you after the show.
Okay.
Right. 6 years ago, I'll just give you the short version. Dad had a stroke. I was living in L.A. for 18 years. I was ready to go a long time. But this kind of moved it forward. My dad had a stroke. I had to move back home with mom and figure this situation out. We put him in a skilled nursing facility.
Yeah.
And then while I'm in Hickory, then a pandemic happens.
Oh, yeah.
And now I can't go anywhere.
Oh, boy.
So I started doing the podcast, and then now I'm a resident of Hickory. But then I fell in love, and I met a girl, and I got married, and I bought a house, and all this stuff happened. But I met – there is a restaurant.
Home in Hickory.
Only in Hickory, baby.
That's right.
There's a restaurant called the Hickory Smokehouse, which is pretty famous in that area.
Right.
And so the guy who runs it was like, hey, you say Hickory all the time. I got Hickory in my thing. Let's partner and do a thing. So this is his stuff. Ooh. I just have my face on it.
Got it.
It's a mix of three different Carolina styles of barbecue.
Easy.
A little mustard, a little vinegar, a little tomato base.
Easy. Oh.
So it's, and I love all styles. I love all styles.
Yeah. Let's not start a barbecue war. There's no need for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't want to start a barbecue war.
Yeah, because I have friends from Carolina, and it can get a little dicey.
It does.
Yes. And we don't mean to do that.
Look, it's all about your mood. What are you in the mood for? I love them all.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm in this mood. Sometimes I'm in the Alabama mood.
Yeah, would this be spicy?
No. I do have a hot version.
Okay.
But this is not spicy. It's got the vinegar bite to it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right, so, John, I got to ask a question. So you're in a meeting.
Yes.
And y'all are like, all right, let's. What names are on the table?
Uh-huh.
And y'all landed with South in your mouth?
Yes, South in your mouth.
In your mouth. Mouth. Yeah, okay, got it.
Because your was taken.
Okay. Yeah. I love it. So South in your mouth.
Yes.
And how do we get this barbecue sauce?
You can get this online at southinyamouth.com.
Okay, well, of course.
But it's not on shelves.
It's on certain shelves in North Carolina.
In North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the website again?
Southinyamouth.com.
Be very careful. Be very careful with that URL. Yeah, be sure you spell everything perfectly.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, get it all right.
You have to.
Yeah.
It might be easier if you just go to johnreap.com.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that one.
And then click on sauce.
There it is.
Yeah, it's right there.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Less letters.
Yeah. And but then, you know, the whole, you know, we're watching right now. This is our YouTube channel up here on TV, the top TV there on the right.
Yes.
So when we go to the break, he'll be running old moments.
Okay.
And so
we're up to the pandemic.
We're in the pandemic right now, and it's so weird to watch it.
It is.
So strange.
Yes.
Especially when your livelihood mainly, these other side projects we do, but mainly is on the road standing up. Doing stand-up comedy.
I found out that I am non-essential.
Yeah.
But I bet when you finally stepped back out there, people were hungry to laugh about something.
They were, and so forgiving, too, because, I mean, I've done stand-up for over 25 years, like, all the time. That's what I've been doing. And then it stops for almost 2 years. Like, no gig, canceled, everything gone.
I don't have a gig.
No gigs. And then that muscle goes away, because it's a muscle. And then there was one gig that I didn't think about. Yes, it's practice.
Yeah.
And so this one gig I had in Tampa, Florida, they were like, no, we're not canceling. I'm like, okay. So Florida's like, no, we're not playing this game.
Right.
And I go to Florida, and I hadn't done stand-up in about a year and a half. And I literally had to download my own comedy and listen to it again.
Yeah.
I remember my
learning songs or something.
Relearning your own songs. And I'm sitting there. I forgot what I even called them, the titles of the bits. That's how long I was out. I'm like, oh my. And I had like, when I say forgiving, the audience was forgiving because I went up there and said, guys, I've not done this in a year and a half. I don't know how it's going to go.
Good luck. And that's good to go ahead and put something self-deprecating out there. That puts everybody at ease.
Yes,
I remember walking out to speak one time, and I thought I had lost more weight than I had. And the shirt I went to, I wasn't quite ready for it yet.
Yes.
Noticed it too late. And so I walked out on the stage, and the first thing I said is, let's go and acknowledge I went to this shirt a little quick. I wasn't ready for it. And everybody was like, oh, thank God you said it. You know, because all of us were looking at you going, yeah, you're not quite ready for that shirt yet.
No.
Yeah.
Optimistic.
So once you acknowledge it, then they become very forgiving.
Now we're relieved. We can move on and listen to the words you're saying.
Come back. If you want to see John in Birmingham, at the Stardome, go to stardome.com tonight, 7 o'clock, Saturday, two shows, 6:30 and 9:15, and one Sunday evening, 6:30 p.m. We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
said when you went back.
Our Fine Barbecue
Sauce. Our Fine Barbecue
Sauce. South Indian.
Just click on sauce.
So it is on your website.
Yeah. It is.
Because I think I can remember that easier.
Okay, good.
And I prefer that destination.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and so and I want all of you out there to know, especially folks that are not from the Carolinas, that John has made it very clear he's not militant about the Carolina barbecue and Carolina sauce and vinegar and all that.
Right.
He's not militant. He's welcome. He likes all of them.
I do. It's all about your mood. What are you in the mood for? Sometimes I do want a sweet barbecue sauce. Yeah. Sometimes I want a tangy.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on what I'm in,
Right.
And this, I would say this is better with like a shredded pork. Okay. You know, because it's what they call a mopping or a sopping sauce.
I got you.
Oh, I love the sauce.
Understood. I was going to ask you this. You said, you know, you took the year and a half off and the pandemic. We're watching these replays, and there's still all this stuff coming out about the pandemic. We've learned, I hope we've learned so much from it. But being a comedian, and we kind of, our show is a little bit, as we've said, Seinfeld was a show about nothing. Ours is a show about anything.
Yeah.
So we can be serious and we can be goofy. But I sense, and I know you probably did too, Bubba, there was so much material provided by the pandemic, but people actually died.
Yes.
So when you're doing comedy, you're like, all right.
Where do I land?
I have a lot I can do with this that's funny,
but
I don't want to be insensitive to anybody in the audience that buried somebody.
Correct.
Did you go there, or did you how did you walk
I really just more focused on how it affected me.
Right,
And the weird things that were around it. Mm-hmm. Not so much the death part.
Right, yeah.
But that is true. It's sensitive because, there's a chance where someone in that crowd lost a family.
Correct,
I don't want to go there that way. And my dad was in a skilled nursing facility, and we couldn't go visit him.
Which was horrible.
I would talk about
that. Totally
unnecessary. And wearing a mask.
Come on, man.
Outside of a window to look at. I'm already standing outside, but they want you to wear a mask anyway, and I'm trying to wave to my dad, who can't see me because it's too reflective.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
who's the guy in the mask?
What are we doing here?
I
put my face on my mask so they knew it was me.
It's me, Daddy. It's me.
But didn't we all?
Love you, Daddy.
But don't we all, thus all of us that do comedy, though, didn't we think that it would almost be, though, like we were betraying comedy if we let some of the lunacy go?
Yes.
It's like you can't expect us not to point out some of the lunacy.
100%.
Don't want to be insensitive, but we can't let it go.
No. Right. Look how insane this is.
Right.
I'm on. So when they open the clubs back up, like I said, I was non-essential because I was the last entertainment, live venues was the last thing to go back to work.
Mm.
Right. Because you're physically on a stage, pointed at people, speaking out loud, throwing COVID at them.
Now, they were 40 foot away from
them. So we were the last ones to get to work. So when it finally did happen, that certain clubs, they didn't want to get in trouble. So they start spacing the tables out. Right, they limited the amount of people.
And
that
I'm sure
get
that
in
was going to help.
Yeah, totally. Right. No one got COVID there. Yeah.
So half the room was there.
Half the room, and that was. So this is another point. A lot of comedians who don't do that well could now say, "I sold out."
That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah. Well, good for you. That was 30 people there.
Well done.
Yeah, that's all they could get in.
Sold every ticket available. But I think there was.
But they had this little line, right? Yeah. They put tape on the stage.
Oh, remember the lines and the arrows?
And they would say, "Don't go past that arrow." Now they're physically. Now these are club owners, comedy club owners, telling the comedian not to cross that line. That's what we do all the time.
Right.
And now it's physically here.
Yeah. Right.
So, of course, I cross that line.
Every time I could.
I'm by the line.
It's like going into North Korea.
There were so many, and we even talked about, and fellow comedian Brad Stein brought it up, we talked about the lunacy of the restaurants, that you were only dangerous to people while standing. Because as soon as you sit down in your booth, you could take your mask off.
Right.
Between
bites.
Right. And the other one, which really, I remember the moment happening when churches, you know, the ones that didn't fight.
Mm-hmm.
So we had literally at one point had the church of, under the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, people watching terrified on a screen, are standing with double mask on, singing, "I'm no longer a slave to fear."
And I thought, this is complete. God must be laughing. I mean, look at my people. That aren't they bold? Aren't they bold? They're no longer a slave to fear. I can't hear them because they have masks on.
Yeah. Yes, that's perfect. That is a perfect synopsis
of all of it right there. Isn't that it?
Well, everybody was so scared. All right, so I, being the stadium guy for one of the football teams, UAB, that year I had to do the stadium stuff on the wireless mic, but I had to have a mask on. Well, you know, in the stadium, it's already hard enough to hear with bouncing around, and so I've got a mask on going. So I can't imagine what I sounded like, and I realized at that point I talked too fast. Everybody's like, "Slow down, nobody can understand you," and it's like because I had a mask on, so I would like, "How's everybody doing? If you're having a good time." But you can't see the mouth. All you could see was the mask and my eyes.
Yeah. And you know the thing
But we didn't know at the time. Everybody was scared.
Because the mask became so now. Do you find yourself now?
Well, when I see it now.
The continued mask people?
Yeah.
And you think, Rick, don't mess up because there may be a person that's wearing a mask for something that has nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah.
And so you can't mess up. But your first thought is, oh, so you're still masking.
But you're judging. We're all doing it.
Oh, of course. You know that's not doing you. Look, I'm going to don't even have your nose covered.
Yeah, right.
This is a pacifier, isn't it?
It's
a security blanket.
What I do when I see them and they try to talk to me, it's like, I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Right.
And I go like, can you, I make them repeat it.
Right.
Just to let them know. Like, you know, it's about passive aggressive way of doing it.
I'm with you all the way. Yeah. I've even tried my best not to be an eye roller.
It's hard.
It's hard.
And I feel like, in the airplane, in the airport, it was worse.
Oh, it was terrible.
Like the stewardess, those people, were they loved the power. They were on the power trip.
You don't have your mask on right. Not just not on right.
Not on
now, I notice we don't care about that anymore.
In between bites.
Yeah, I tell you the people that I can't let go, because no matter why they're wearing it, they're in trouble. Mr. and Mrs. Chinstrap, I just have to say, boy, you're really, hey, sleep tight tonight. Peace on earth, Chinstrap. Now all you've done is just look goofy.
Yeah.
John, I mastered on the plane chewing as slow as I possibly
could.
Because they would come by and want to say mask, and I'd hold my snack up.
Right. Yeah, remember, that's smart. I did the same thing, but what I would do is I had a straw, and I would put my straw in a drink, and I would try to keep it here, like the whole time. I'm still drinking. You know? Well, I thought it was so silly, so ridiculous that I made my own mask. And a lot of people did it. I put my face on a mask, but it was too big. It looked like an orangutan.
I John Reap. So we're talking to John Reap. We talked about he's on the road full blown now. Doing the stand-up. We talked about the barbecue sauce. We mentioned briefly the podcast, which, you know, let's face it, Bubba remembers that podcast. We all remember the first time we heard the word podcast, we're like, I hope you're going to be okay. What do they think you're going to be? Are you going to survive?
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, no.
How long to recover?
This is people listening to they're listening to what is a podcast?
Like, do I have to have an iPod?
I didn't understand it at all. I didn't know what was going on. This word kept popping up everywhere.
John, we've been doing it so long. We started, there was no internet.
No. Not exaggeration.
Yeah.
Bubba came in and told me about it, and we've said this 1,000 times here on our celebration.
You mean the radio show before?
The radio show. Yeah. So he brought in a stack of typing paper, you know, and he said these are letters from the audience, and I said where did they come from?
Letters,
and he started trying to tell me where
an email was.
There were so few emails, we printed out every single one, and we come in and read them, and so we date that far back with the show.
Wow,
So the podcast now, everybody must have a podcast.
But there's
like a lot of things. There's a lot of them, but are there a lot of good ones?
Right.
And you are one of the good ones. So tell us some of the things you guys are doing. We mentioned the thing about you bringing out the royalty checks, which we thought were hilarious.
Yeah. That's a fun staple of the show. Yeah. People like to, you know, they think they're going to win some big money.
Yeah.
But sometimes I do. I give a check for over $1,100 one time.
Oh.
Because the beauty of the game is I don't open the check beforehand. I open it live because it's a live show. So we go live Tuesday nights at 8:00 Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and Facebook live. Okay. And you can watch it later after that. But the live part's fun because I don't know how much this check is. Okay. And I open it live. And I had to give one away for $1,100. As I said, I will do this. And
if
so
you
I
guess
literally
it.
Had to sign it. The closest one, you don't even have to guess it correctly, just the closest one. Closest. I take three phone calls at random, and whoever guesses closest wins that check.
Right.
Or I do a deal or no deal, and I go, like, you can keep the check, or you can go for an item in the mystery box.
Oh, that's right. Good.
Or yes. Maybe some sauce.
And for those who don't know, you're involved with so much, you get royalty checks from being involved with these
right
things.
Now, I'm on Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO.
Did not know that.
No. Yep, that just that came out this season, their final season.
Yeah.
And so that's a new thing, but, good luck, Charlie. Rodney Carrington, Into the Storm, Eastbound and Down on HBO. Harold Funny. And Kumar Escape Guantanamo Bay, tons of random stuff I just pop up on,
right.
But so that's one segment. Now another segment we do is called Goodwill Hunting. I have a buddy, his name is Mark Hunt.
Okay.
And he looks, I know it's so close.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
It is so close. That's why I took a pause.
Yes.
Between the first
because
name.
That's wisdom.
That's yes. Yes. Right. So Mark, we go Goodwill Hunting. So what we do is we go to a Goodwill. Not together, separately. I have to buy a gift for him, $5 or less. He doesn't know what it is. We exchange it on the show.
Funny.
And it's insulting. So whatever I buy for him is almost like I know him, and this is an insult at him.
Yeah. Something he would absolutely
not want.
Well, he would have to wear it or use it or experience it.
Right.
Like I know he's a Carolina fan, University of North Carolina, Tar Heels. And so I would buy him something from NC State.
Of course.
You know, I mean, just little things like that.
Okay.
So and you cannot exceed $5.
You know, we'll bounce around it.
$5.25.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I don't think anything in there is over $5.
Right. That's true.
But we do that. That's a segment that we have. We talk about weird things that happen in small towns, small town news.
There's much of that.
We talk about things that are trending, and it's a way to get to know me. Like, if you think I'm funny at all and you want to know more about me, listen to the show. It's just me talking to my friends.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Carolina Reaper.
You said you're That's doing good. It live and you're taking phone calls. Where are
how
you
do
doing
you do
this
that?
At? You built you a studio to do it?
Yeah. A buddy of mine, a guy I went to high school with, his name is Alan Jackson.
Oh, wow. You might have heard of him.
You and your friends' names.
I know.
You
so
got anybody
weird.
That has a unique name of any kind?
Right.
No, we have Sebastian McConaughey.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's all just gold.
Yeah. Now, that one we made up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
But as a goof, because the other guys, we realized those are like, okay, there's the Alan Jackson.
Yeah. Right.
I actually call him the Alan Jackson on the show to make it more confusing for people.
Right.
Is this Alan Jackson? Yes, the Alan Jackson.
That's fine.
Turns out there's a lot of Alan Jacksons out there. It's a very common name.
Yeah.
So he's a guy that I know. He's big into film. He's a film guy. He has his own studio in Hickory. And when I moved back home, we partnered up, and it's all him. He knows all the technology, all that stuff. I'm not sure how he gets the phone calls, but he's got it built in. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad to have him.
Is it in his house or somewhere out behind in a barn? Where
no, he's got a big building. His family had this big brick building in the middle of Hickory called the Jackson Group.
And downtown Hickory.
Downtown Hickory.
Yeah.
Right next to the Hickory Station. You can walk over there and get yourself some South in your mouth barbecue.
There you go. Nice job. That's a pro right there.
And so it's very convenient for me to have that guy in my life.
You know?
So he had all the technology, all the equipment, and I would just come in with the content, and it's been great.
How long have you been doing it since the pandemic?
Since the pandemic. We've toyed with different names. I've been doing a podcast of some type for a long time, and hopefully I've dragged people with me as I've changed, pivoted here and there.
Sure.
I called it Fried for a minute when I started it in Los Angeles with Sarah Tiana. And then I moved back home, and we broke up, and then I just started Country-ish. And then I just started Carolina Reaper.
Okay.
So it's morphed and changed over
so
the years.
So Hickory staying there now? No going back to L.A. or
the good part about me going back home, one of the good things that came out of the pandemic, I guess you could say, is that I met a girl, I fell in love, got married, bought a house. And now, I mean, I've toyed with
it. Country song.
Yes, it is.
And
there are two dogs, too.
A lot of comedy there, too.
Yeah. You
it's great. And so I toyed with running for mayor of Hickory.
Oh.
That's good.
I could see that.
I put my toe in that water, and I'm not sure if I want to go back in
there. Well, the problem is you might win.
That is a
and
thing.
There's a lot of comedy
you
actually do.
And I don't know if I want the dude, because when you are like a public figure like that, then people think you owe them time and stuff.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm just a private dude who sells tickets, and I can do what I want.
Right.
If I actually win, I got, you know, I got to report to the other people. I don't know if I want to do that.
Right.
You know.
You but don't take orders well.
The current mayor hates me right now because I did. We have a little feud going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's
well. You tried to get his job.
I toyed with it. See, when I moved back to Hickory, my mom's house. I stayed with my mom for a little bit. Her house is technically on the outskirts of the inner city part of Hickory, so we don't.
Rings of Hickory.
Yeah, there's like wards.
Right. Right. Yes.
So we can't technically even vote for mayor. I can't run for mayor. I didn't know this. I took this the way to the county clerk, where I was going to go. Throw my hat in the ring. I'd like to put my name in to run for mayor of Hickory. I had a newspaper with me. I had a TV station from Charlotte.
The mayor hates you.
And I had a seersucker suit on.
No, you didn't.
Like, I was making a spectacle of it. I was doing it for content for my podcast.
Of course.
I didn't think I was going to
win. We're
all
desperate for content.
I was just doing something to this. I'm a comedian.
Right.
And so, like, yes, I'd like to run for mayor. And the guy's like, types it in. Okay, I need your address. I go, here's my address. He goes, you are not eligible.
Oh, you didn't see that coming.
And the camera crew's right there. And I just look over the camera and go, whoopsie daisy.
Turned around and went, gotcha.
Yeah. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, here's the actual outline of the map. This is your house. As you can see, you're outside. I said, well, where does the current mayor live? And they showed me the map. He annexed his own house. He lives further out of Hickory than I do.
But he annexed it in.
He annexed
it. Well, we'll see your annex and we'll annex.
That's right. Well, no, I just bought a house.
So you're in now.
Are you in now?
And I saw him the other day. I was downtown Hickory. I said, hey, Hank, guess what, buddy? I just bought a house. You can see his face. Just
so he really loves it.
And my manager gave me a hat that says Mayor of Hickory on it.
Oh, that's even better.
So I don't want to because I think he's doing a good job, and I don't want to take his job.
Well, it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. He's doing fine.
Okay.
He's doing fine.
Maybe you should put underneath unofficial.
Right.
Yeah.
Name a park after me. I'll stop.
Right.
Seriously, because of your success, I'm shocked there's not one already.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
A street?
Yeah.
Something.
Well, that's what I'm going to lobby you for right now.
Campaign slogan, reap for the peep.
Oh, I love it. I like that.
Reap for the peep, baby.
If you want to see John Reap, go see him in Birmingham this weekend, stardome.com.
You could be president.
John, thanks for being with us.
Yeah.
That's right.
I believe we're qualified.
Always fun.
Hickory, great again.
Great again. Go to stardome.com, see Reap in Birmingham this weekend, find out where he'll be, and all the other things we talked about at johnreap.com. We'll be
thanks,
right back.
Thanks, guys.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
The real Greg Burgess is here. We've got Eddie Van Adler. And welcome back, Bill Bubba Bussey.
Rick, we appreciate everyone being here. We are thankful to the Elite Six today is here.
Yep.
Thank you guys for being here.
The Savvy Six. All right, so from the Savvy Six, they were telling me that if you research Leave It to Beaver, it is true they do not tell you at the beginning of the show. Wow. But it's actually toward the end of its run.
Oh, really?
And they explained that Wally, as a little boy, could not say his real name correctly.
Correct.
And he said something that sounded like Beaver.
Now, what?
And so they began to call him Beaver.
Theodore?
Yeah, Theodore.
Instead of Theodore, he mispronounced it.
Tweeter, and somehow and that turned Beaver into Beaver. I got to tell you, that's still not adequate.
That's not adequate.
That is not adequate.
I'm going to say stretch.
I'm going to say that's a stretch, and I don't like it.
Yep.
So anyway, I did enjoy it, and our culture has changed incredibly. I mean, when Wally is trying to get a date for a girl that's new to the school, and the first thing he asks her mom when he calls to try to talk to her is how much she weighs.
That's funny.
I miss those days. I miss those days. I mean, he's so awkward. When he said, "Can I ask you a few things about her? How much does she weigh?
Where does she go?"
And I thought, man, we're off and running. And when Larry Mondello knows that they messed the house up, when they finally got to stay by themselves without a babysitter, and they overflowed the bathtub, and Mondello figures it out, and Beav goes, "Could you not tell your mom about it, Larry?" He's like, "I'm not going to tell my mom. I don't want to think I'm a pal with somebody that's stupid." It was just such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. We were talking about age a minute ago, too. Do you realize, and I think it's today, that William Shatner is 93.
And
still pretty still pretty active.
And, really? And was, like, yeah. I saw him like being promoted as being on some talk. I'd be like on one of the late night shows.
Yeah. Bubba, you are intelligent.
So, thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. So, all right, Bubba, we do have a.
Well, cut it out, Wally, before I take a poke at you.
But anyway, so
93.
Do you know why Wally Gregg did not call Eddie Haskell to go out with a girl?
No,
I'm not calling Eddie Haskell. He'll be a wise guy.
Well, yeah,
Eddie Haskell was a wise guy. There's no
question. About Lumpy?
He did. This literally, I told
you, Clarence
in the bathroom. Talk about again, no sensitivity. Okay, this is what he said. So Beef goes, "Why don't you call Lumpy?" And Tony Dow, Wally goes, "I'm not going to do that to any girl." So you gotta love that.
Yeah,
I didn't realize Bubba reminded me that Lumpy's dad did not like his friends calling him Lumpy.
No, and he called him. It was Clarence, I think.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, so
he would say Clarence, and all of them would look at each other and they go Lumpy.
Yeah, Mom, I don't want to do that, Mom. So it was. I love this. Dad comes in and goes, "Hey boys," and he goes, "No need to tell us, Dad. Mom's already yelled at us about that." So I mean, it was a blast.
Great show,
blast. Yeah.
Of course, you know, and a little guilt when they didn't tell the truth about the bathtub, and they finally had to tell the truth about it.
Do you remember the time he let the homeless man come in and take a shower, and the parents were gone, and he ended up stealing one of his suits?
I don't remember that one.
And they were like, "We're going to get in so much trouble, so much trouble."
It was. You know, let me tell you something. The storylines weren't very deep, but you know what? I never once thought to myself, "I wonder if I should be sitting here with Jesus watching this."
You know, it was good. Betty likes those old shows. One of the channels. Or apps or whatever, I would come in at lunch a lot of times. She would have that on. Uh-huh. It had Leave It to Beaver. Hazel was on it.
Which I forgot about Hazel.
Can I tell you,
I never liked that show.
I was scared of
Mr.
her.
Mr. B.
Yeah,
I hated Hazel.
As much as I love Leave It to Beaver, I didn't like Hazel. Bewitched is always.
Yeah, I like that.
You know. Yeah, I was a big Bewitched.
Well, I know why.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure.
Same reason he was Andre Magini.
I didn't know why, but I sure didn't like it.
We've said it many times. We watched a show that was based on witchcraft, and everybody drank alcohol the whole show.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember they come and fix him a drink immediately.
Yeah, oh, that's the very Tate. When you walk in the door, can I get you a drink?
Right. Larry Tate makes one in a minute.
Oh, Larry Tate, I think, had a drinking problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this was the first introduction to an alcoholic character.
Yeah, it was weird when they changed actors for the main guy. That was weird.
Didn't care for that.
Yeah.
You know why.
So.
Stop it. Why do you stare at us like that?
On the name Beaver.
I could picture Bubba watching.
In an interview, Jerry Mathers stated that the series creator, who was Joe Connolly, had a shipmate in the U.S. Merchant Marine whose nickname was Beaver, and he simply liked the name.
How funny.
And next time Jerry Mathers is at World of Wheels, I'm going to go over and ask
me
him.
Me too. Yeah.
And
comes Jerry burning. Mathers as the Beaver. Tony Dow.
I always felt like that Hugh Beaumont would have been a cool dad. Mm. I liked Ward.
See, look at that.
Look at that right there.
Well, that's not the same guys.
That's when they changed the Darren.
No, it's the Darren. No, that was Larry Hagman from I Dream of Jeannie.
Come on. That wasn't the second Darren.
No, yeah.
That was Dick Sargent.
Yeah.
Watcher.
I think he was the Darren. Wasn't
he? Was not that was Major. That
you
was,
are just.
He
couldn't
was
be Major
wrong.
Healy.
He's you're Major wrong right Healy now. From I Dream of Jeannie. And then he was J.R.
You're confusing Samantha the Witch with Jeannie the Jeannie.
Genie,
okay.
The
Genie, Genie the Genie.
Genie.
Which both of those shows were number one when you were a little kid.
Bubba.
Well, you didn't know what to do.
They were.
You didn't know what to
they
do.
They were.
I remember being a little boy.
Didn't
going,
miss an episode.
I don't,
Greg and I were just talking about it.
Larry Hagman. Wait, y'all are saying Larry Hagman wasn't on I Dream of Genie?
No, he was.
But he wasn't on Bewitched.
And the guy you're showing was on Bewitched, not
Darren
I Dream of
Genie. Darren was on Bewitched.
I was just trying to talk about I Dream of Genie. I'm sorry.
You,
I messed everybody
up. You pulled
up
a Darren. You put Darren on there.
I'm
from Bewitched.
Sorry.
There was only one Major Healy.
I watched I Dream of Genie like a couple times as a kid. That's all. I'm just trying to help.
You're all over the road.
Are you confusing me?
I didn't know why I wanted to watch I Dream of Genie as a kid, but later now I do know why I wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
I remember my mom asking me, "So what's going on in this episode?" And as a little boy, I said, "I have no idea."
I don't know.
I have no idea. I wish she put her back in that bottle. I like when they show her laying around on that couch in there.
I didn't understand why.
I had no idea. I didn't
room
know what
full
was going on. I was just a little boy. I had no idea.
Can't look at him now.
I had no idea. I didn't know what was going on.
Built in.
Mm-hmm. Did not know.
Yep.
And, you know, these days you're just welcome that, you know, your kid feels that way.
It's sure.
Yeah. So then you get it all headed in the right direction.
Still don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, looking down now, like right. I got something I can look at.
No one knows. We didn't know. We had no idea. We were stupid little kids.
I've read the Jaeger's name five times, and I don't need to read it anymore.
That's it. So, Adler, don't take these kind of shows and just throw them all together like this.
Yeah, some hodgepodge.
I'm just trying to help. This is before my time, okay?
Right.
Now, were you guys Marianne or Ginger fans?
Now, that's an old question, isn't it?
Did you see he started smiling before he finished?
I think we've all done enough damage here.
When we were kids, I'm talking about.
Yeah, when you're like
I was Marianne.
I kind of was.
Well, she was smaller
than
Marianne.
She had nothing to do with it.
She was tiny for a tiny little.
Ginger was overdressed.
To do with it.
You didn't want to look up at your wife.
That had nothing to do with it. I was.
You know what I mean.
I could have been grown.
She was on that island in a cocktail dress for forever.
Right, buddy, I know you can't get past that.
And then some reason the Howells had all kinds of clothes with them, different stuff. I don't know how they had it on that 3-hour cruise.
They were rich.
Wealthy people.
That's right.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Bubba, we do have an update today from the world of Trump. Trump. Yeah, baby, Trump. So... this is a really, really odd setup. Do you just want to watch CNN's report on this, or you want to try to get the background?
Let's listen to this report, and then let's hear what they're actually saying. Remember, Trump has been found guilty of exaggerating the value of his property.
Right.
Okay. And this is what they have to say about it.
You need at least 30 days to get any of these properties sold. But the property that you alluded to, Mar-a-Lago, potentially that could be something that could be sold quickly. I think the valuation is something in the hundreds of millions, and I think there could be a buyer for something like that.
And that would be literally, if you're talking about doing that between now and Monday, that's picking up the phone, calling someone, and then literally writing a check.
Yeah, I mean, there could be plenty of international people who want to buy that property. I mean, there's properties that are priced at 150 and 200 million that are nearby that. And Palm Beach is like the NVIDIA of real estate. It's just shot up like a rocket. And people do want to live there. They've moved there. So I think that would be the best case scenario as to proper if he's trying to sell quickly. I would encourage that.
So, all right. Now, that's $240 million estimated. I mean, who knows? You know, he's a desperate seller in this case. Someone picks up the phone and makes that call this week. So I don't know what it'd be. That's still half of what it would be.
Interesting numbers they're throwing around.
$240 million. For Mar-a-Lago, what the experts on CNN have valued it at. The judge and the prosecutor who have accused Trump of overvaluing his property, would you like to know what they had it at? $18
million. Mm-hmm.
Mm. $18
million. Yep.
So they're using Trump's numbers.
Not the judge's numbers.
Not the judge's numbers to say that's what he could get for it to help pay off this bond that is unpayable. No one's ever had a $500 million bond before.
Right.
There's nobody that deals in those numbers. But it is funny that they're actually assigning the value to it that Trump did.
So they're
not what the judge did.
Right.
In their mind, they're telling Trump what to do to pay this off because you're guilty and you owe it. And they think it's probably kind of funny that they're going to get his house. You know, they're going to throw him out on the street.
And who's the victim in this New York deal?
There is nobody that is a victim.
I was just saying, I forgot.
No one. The bank who loaned it is whole on it. They thought it was a good deal. Everybody's happy. But the authorities in New York came in and said, oh, we think we can make something up with this. You know, we can have a little fun with these numbers.
Guys, the point...
He got favorable status.
Yeah. The point that Bubba just made, when you heard them talking about how much he could sell it for, it's almost like these women were speaking like they were Trump.
They just made the case every for Donald reason Trump that on he the said, appeal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every reason he said they valued his property at what they valued it at, every reason he gave, they just gave.
Mm-hmm. And while I don't follow these legal proceedings very close because I have a life, I find it very strange that they're not waiting for the appeal of this ruling. Because once you sell somebody's property, you can't go get it back.
No.
You know, and for him to have to put that kind of bond up on these numbers, it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's a political prosecution.
And they're threatening to start seizing things Monday.
Right.
Right. Well, and like you all have said, we know that they hate Trump and they want this to happen. They think this is embarrassing and demoralizing, but they're so emotionally angry, they're not even thinking through what they just did. They just
proved his case.
All the reasons that Trump says it is worth what he says it was worth. And as you said, the bank's not left holding the bag.
I think their evaluation's even more than what Trump said.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what Trump's evaluation was.
I want to say 200.
I know they just did it at 240 million. I know that's a long way from 18 million. I do know that,
mm-hmm.
which was the judge's ruling.
I think Trump said around 500, something like that. But like you guys said, they claimed that it was 18 million. He defrauded these banks through this loan, but Deutsche Bank got all their money back. So, yep. Like you guys said, there is no crime. So basically, the state of New York is just saying to Trump, "Give us $500 million.
Yep.
We demand it." And the fact that they did not see the
Alt Allergy.
It's just unbelievable.
Are you okay, buddy? It's all right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I know you're a little shook from Henry the Horse. Right. Look, it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friendly Henry. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, it's tough to see through a mask.
You can't see right under the
mask or not. They don't give you a lot of room to see through.
Nose gets in the way.
But I mean, we were showing when all this was first coming out, we were showing empty lots right in that area listed at $50 million, $20 million just for an empty lot. Mar-a-Lago has beachfront on both sides. I guess it would be beach and bay front. But I mean, it's an unbelievable piece of property. Trump at one point said that it was probably worth $1 billion.
Yeah.
And at one point it will be worth that, I think, just as the way the property's going. But this is just insane that CNN aired this clip saying in order to pay the fine, he could sell it for $240 because we punished him for saying that it was worth more than $18 million. It's insanity.
It really is. I mean, it is Banana Republic, and no offense to Banana Republic.
Their clothes.
Well, and it goes back to this is why in Trump's strongest campaign when he runs is when he says, look, the federal government wants to use their power to go after people that oppose them or disagree with them. And when they do this to me, they're ultimately willing to do it to you, and I stand between them and you. That's the strongest campaign that Trump runs, and he needs to land right there. They've given him more ammunition to work with. And we will see, you know, if all that turns out to pay dividends.
With every conviction and prosecution, Trump's numbers has gone up.
Oh, yeah.
So if the plan was to muddy him up so that he would be unappealing to American voters, it has not worked. It is not a good plan.
No.
All they're doing is – and the reason
they're kind of proving his point.
Well, and the reason why they're helping him is because they can't control their emotions.
Right.
They so hate him that they don't even think clearly, and they fall into their own traps that they set for themselves. So we'll see. You know, it's going to be an interesting run. Two things we'll watch. Can Trump remain the nominee, and will he receive enough votes to win? Will the election be something that we all feel like is straight up? And can Joe Biden get through today?
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
We've got a Senator Kennedy clip, too, we need to see. Anytime he's taking on climate people, that's got to be good.
Greg can't wait for that.
We got that coming up, too. And, of course, Trump wastes no time. He's posted a compilation of Biden's brain glitches.
Oh, yeah. 5 minutes worth.
Just put that out there and says, vote for me. We'll be back. We'll wrap up the hour next.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Is Senator Kennedy pointing some of those out? Here we go.
What is carbon dioxide?
I went to high school, but that's carbon dioxide.
Well, it's going real fast.
Yeah,
I was
can speak like that.
Trying to get this.
I was speeding it up as I was screening it. This is Mr. Gus Shoemaker. He's an American cross-country skier. He's an Olympian, and that is who John Kennedy is talking to. Talking about his experience with melting snow. That's who the Democrats brought in to be an expert on climate change.
A skier?
Let me try that.
Ricky knows about snow.
Thank you for it.
All right, sorry.
What is carbon dioxide?
I went to high school, but that's carbon dioxide is a gas.
Oh no, I got second.
Okay.
I'm not a professional to talk about.
Why are you there?
His face is red.
So much. I wish I wouldn't hear. Well, just how it feels.
You want us to abolish it, right?
No, there's always going to be carbon dioxide.
Right. So what is it you want us to do? Let me back up, because I want to. I mean, you're here as an expert. Tell me more about what carbon dioxide is.
I'm here as an expert cross-country skier who sees the changes in my winters and the landscape that I live in Alaska. And so carbon dioxide is what I see it as, is, you know, it's a gas that exists in our atmosphere. And what?
Is it the major part of our atmosphere? Or?
It's a huge part of our atmosphere, yes.
It's actually a very small part of our atmosphere.
Well, okay. But
look at the guy beside him.
Yeah, I don't know. What are you asking specifically?
Well, you said we need to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. I'd like to know first if you know what it is. You want us to abolish fossil fuels?
I never said that.
You never have said that?
No.
Okay. What do you think we ought to do with fossil fuels?
What will we do with fossil fuels?
Yeah. Should we make any changes?
I would like to see a decrease in the use of fossil fuels. I think there's a possibility to use more electric generation.
Okay. Over what period of time? 10 years, 50 years, 100 years?
That's not... I would like to see it come as fast as possible while continuing...
How fast?
Sorry?
How fast?
I don't have a good answer for that, no.
Okay. You just think, well, how much will it cost for us to become carbon neutral in the United States by 2050?
I'm not a professional on that. I don't have an answer.
You don't have any idea?
No.
You just think we ought to spend the money?
I'm not an economist.
Yeah, but it's going to cost money. You realize that.
Yeah, but we've also talked about the trade-off of what the cost of climate change as emergencies will cost in the future also. So.
Right, but it's going to cost trillions of dollars to become carbon neutral by 2050, right?
I do not know.
You don't know. You just think we ought to do it.
I don't have a great answer for you, but I think
If we spent those trillions of dollars and became carbon neutral by 2050 in the United States, which you advocate, how much will it reduce world temperatures?
I don't have an answer for that.
You don't know?
No.
You just think we ought to spend the money and then see what happens?
Guys,
yes.
At what point did that kid regret being there?
First of all, who thought that was a good idea? Is he going to come and talk about snow melting? Yeah. That's the expert.
That was his. Based on my experience of skiing, I think my winters are different.
Yeah. That's quite an expert opinion on climate. Am I, 22 years old?
Right.
I've seen 22 of them at best.
Right.
And five of them I can't remember.
Right.
Sure.
He's seen it all.
I tell you, we ought to really base our economy and trillions of dollars on that testimony.
Yes.
By the way, carbon dioxide, about 0.4% of the atmosphere.
No, he said it was a lot.
No, it's a lot.
He said it was a lot.
It's mostly
that. He ain't an expert on it, but it is.
Mostly that.
Yeah, you know, she's low.
Mostly that.
It's at 421 parts per million.
Right. All we missed was, we're talking about worldwide climate too, not just in Alaska and United States. All right. So here we go. Next, another one. Everybody remember when ivermectin was demonized during COVID?
This couldn't is big speak of right it. Here, Rick. This
couldn't
is big.
Speak of it. Couldn't do it.
Yep.
Don't even bring it up, you backward hillbilly. Okay. Well, now the FDA has lost the war on ivermectin, and they are now having to remove all social media posts and consumer directives regarding ivermectin and COVID, including the most popular FDA tweet in history. So,
yeah, this is will go down in history as probably the poster child for the pandemic.
Right.
This is when the FDA said, "You're not a horse, you're not a cow. Seriously, stop it, y'all."
Now, see, that's so stupid because ivermectin for human beings, as we have said many times, won a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes, it did. It won a Nobel Prize because of its cost and its effectiveness in treating viral infections, most notably river blindness.
River blindness. It changed the lives
in third world countries.
Millions of human beings and got a Nobel Prize for that. So
dirt cheap, by the way.
So we really have never told humans to go in and take it the way livestock does, because we've actually given it to humans for how many years?
Rick, it won the Nobel Peace Prize like 20 years ago,
yeah,
maybe longer. It was a long time.
Approximately.
But here's the problem, and this is where all of it, this is where science got off the track with politics. For the COVID vaccines to be produced and to be given and to be treated as an emergency thing, there had to be no other treatments available. Ivermectin was a treatment for viral infections, which COVID would have fallen under, and they had to have it deemed not for that, or they could not move ahead with a vaccine. So they had to demonize it, they had to reclassify it, they had to have a PR campaign on it, and then finally go, well, look, the FDA said you're not supposed to be using it. So now we're clear to experiment.
It's so far from science. Approximately 250 million people have been using ivermectin annually for decades.
Yeah, it's as safe as aspirin. Okay, there is no threat from ivermectin.
And cheap.
And cheap.
FDA now, this is a landmark ruling because now this will play a big role in limiting the FDA's ability to overreach into the doctor-patient relationship. What that tells you, that if they need to do something, as Bubba just laid out, they will lie to you in order to accomplish what they want to, and they will leave the science that is readily available just so they can have the power.
Scary.
And that ought to bother you. Top of the hour.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Hey, it's Rick and Bubba. You made it to the weekend. Monday, Bubba, we are on vacation.
We're going to be out for a few days, Rick, a little R&R. But in the meantime, we'll have the best of Rick and Bubba, some of your favorite moments from the past 30 years.
All Monday on the best of Rick and Bubba. Thanks for listening to the daily best of Rick and Bubba.
To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.